Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Let me start by talking about this league, this bleeping league. And when I say this league, you don't even need me to tell you which league I'm speaking of, because you already know. When Howard Beck was on this show yesterday, he said that he had never seen an NBA offseason quite like this one. And it's almost like Daryl Morey and Sam Presti took that as some kind of personal challenge. It's almost like they said they heard Beck and said, yeah, all right. Hey, y'all, watch this.
Hey, y'all, watch this.
Because then a few hours later, the news broke that these two had agreed on a deal to send Russell Westbrook to Houston for Chris Paul, first round picks in 2024 and 2026, and pick swaps in 21 and 25. Holy crap. I mean, holy crap. Another superstar on the move. Six of the 15 guys who made an All-NBA team in May are on different teams right now. And that does not even include Chris Paul or Anthony Davis. And speaking of AD, remember when he was dealt?
AD, what's good, baby?
What's good, baby?
AD,
what's good, AD? The only one who likes that better than me is Big Head Flight Deck. Well, by the way, Friday, Flight Deck's here. The Flight Deck loves that. What's good? What's good, AD?
What's good, fat boy?
What's good, Big Head?
AD, what's good?
What's
baby?
Good, Lollipop Head? What's good, Gigantic Head? James Kelly, the MVP of the XR4TI. He's here. It's Friday. Anyway, back to AD. In addition to what's good, AD, do you even remember when this guy was dealt? Feels like an eternity ago. It wasn't even a month ago. That's how much bleep has gone down in just a month. The NBA offseason is completely off the rails, and there's nothing more NBA offseason than Russ Westbrook being dealt on the same night that he's hosting a comedy pop-up show in Tulsa. So, what was my initial reaction to that trade? Well, I picked my jaw off the ground, and then I started to applaud, standing. Daryl Morey is an absolute legend. Like, I don't know how the trade's going to ultimately work out, but I know this much. Morey is not afraid. In fact, he's got a big brass set. And things are never boring with that guy around. Now, in terms of the trade, they're definitely different, but are they better? And if so, how much better? Are they championship better? At this point, exactly what are they getting in a 30-something Russell Westbrook? I don't know. I really don't know. In fact, this may not even be about wanting Russell Westbrook as it is about wanting to get Chris Paul the hell out of town. I mean, how badly did they want to ditch Paul that they moved him for a guy who has an even longer contract, is also on the wrong side of 30, is not what he used to be, cannot shoot a three no matter what, and may or may not even fit with the beard. And they throw in a boatload of picks to make it happen when there really was no market whatsoever for Westbrook. So, why did Daryl Morey, one of the smartest guys ever, give up that much to get Westbrook? Because he wasn't giving up that much to get Westbrook. He did it to get rid of Chris Paul. Because as much as Morey said there were not problems between Paul and Harden, obviously there were. There were problems between Paul and Harden, like there were problems between Paul and Blake Griffin. Just like there will be problems between Paul and his new OKC teammates. Or problems between Paul and Jimmy Butler when he ultimately ends up in Miami. Obviously, Houston was not big enough for CP3 and the beard. And if one of them had to go, it sure as hell was not going to be the beard. Happy trails, Chris. Just don't get too comfortable in OKC because you're probably not going to stay there. You can take what's left of your talents to South Beach. Just do not get on the wrong side of Jimmy Butler because you know buckets ain't having it. Now back to this issue of fit. The issue of fit with Harden and Westbrook. Yes, Harden and Russ like each other. Yes, they played together back in the day. But just because it worked back then does not mean it's going to work right now. They're different dudes. They're different players now than they were when James Harden was coming off the bench for the Thunder. And just because they like each other does not mean their games are going to mesh. They might not. especially when you consider both these guys need to dominate the rock, have extremely high usage rates, and are going to be in the same backcourt. I mean, don't get it twisted. Chris Paul had to go. There was no way they bring that guy back. But that doesn't mean that they're better with Westbrook than they were with Paul. They're different. Slightly younger, a lot more athletic, different, but I'm not sure they're better. And if they are better, how much better? Fact is, it may not work. It may not work. Of course, Daryl Morey is betting that it will. Morey's doing what he always does, getting the best talent he can possibly get, regardless of fit, and then trusting that it's ultimately going to work out. Which is why this guy is a legend. He's relentless. He's fearless. He's going to keep doing anything and everything he can in order to win a ring, which I love. My only regret here is that he had to trade Westbrook and Paul for each other. As much as Paul and Harden couldn't stand playing for each other, imagine how awesome it would have been to add Westbrook to that mix. Three dudes then who have to dominate the ball. Three guys who are extremely headstrong and do not want to guard anybody. With two of them on the verge of aging out and not being what they used to be. You imagine those three dudes in the same locker room and on the same bench, all trying to share the same basketball. It would have been the best thing ever. But then again, as always, if something seems too good to be true, generally it is. And as good as Morey is, he's not that good. He couldn't find a way to get them all three on the same team at the same time. But man, that would have been the best thing ever. I'm looking forward to seeing Russ do Russ things with the Rockets. I just would have liked it a hell of a lot more if Chris Paul were still there to piss the other two guys off. Well, one more thought about Daryl. No, freaking Daryl. Freaking Daryl, a dude who loves to mix it up on Twitter, is almost trolling all of us, right? I mean, what are the two universal thought processes from everybody online about the association? Go ahead, fire up Twitter. Look it up. What are the two things that everybody always says as it relates to them? Mike D'Antoni and Russ Westbrook will never, ever win a world championship. Why? Because Mike's system doesn't work in the postseason and Russ only has one gear. How many millions of times have you seen those two things pushed out over Twitter or any kind of social? But then again, Daryl, and Daryl knows this, Daryl Morey knows this, he's on social, he sees it. He's always been one to go up against supposed conventional wisdom, so he just went legend by doubling down. Scott Brooks is my guest. Scott, it is so good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, what's happening, man? Everything's good here in Vegas.
Good. Glad to hear it. I'm going to ask you about Vegas, but before we get into the business of basketball and the offseason, man, bring me up to date. Scott, how's your life been, and have you been able to find some time to relax since the end of the regular season, or is that pretty much impossible?
I think it's pretty much impossible until usually after the summer league, but it's been pretty busy and hectic. But we've made a bunch of changes to our organization, our players, and we drafted a couple of really good players and picked up some players in free agency. So we're excited. We've kind of changed everything around. I think we only have like probably four players from last season's squad.
Scott Brooks joining us. So there's some significant change. Let me ask you this. Summer League is underway. Obviously, it's a lot different from the days back at Loyola Marymount where you made your name in the Summer League. In fact, take me back. What do you remember about those days? What were they like?
Well, I told this story the other day. You know, the thing about when I came up, it was 1987. There was two divisions. There was an NBA division with all the NBA teams, and there was a free agent division. And I wasn't drafted after seven rounds of NBA draft, and they said, hey, you want to play in the free agent division? You have to pay, like, your fee, $275 or $350. So I ended up doing that, and they guarantee there's going to be tons of scouts. There's going to be coaches all throughout the world watching your games. And so our first game was, like, on a Saturday, like a Thursday morning at 8 a.m., and the only people in the stands were parents of the players and their girlfriends. There was nobody there. Now you come to Vegas, there's sellout crowds, there's coaches everywhere, there's general managers, there's owners. This is the place to be. It's exciting. It's changed for the better. It gives players a great platform to really perform and get a chance to make money wherever it's not in the NBA or overseas.
Scott Brooks, my guest. Speaking of money, so if you had to pay your own way back in the day, I mean, did you have that kind of money for the Summer League back in the day?
No, I had a loan. I was given it from one of my close friends and mentors and guys I've been with for the last 35 years, Chris Valley. He gave me the money. I lived with him in the summer, him and his wife and his son. They took care of me. They fed me, and they gave me my sack lunch every morning on my way to Loyola Marymount. And I stayed there every day, all day. And I ended up finding an opportunity, and I got the training camp that season with the Philadelphia 76ers and played a decade in the NBA. So it's kind of been a great run.
That's amazing. Let me ask you something. Is there something that might be interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? If so, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who are specialized in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, grief, self-esteem, and more. You can connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment, and anything you share is confidential, and it's so very convenient. You can get help at your own time and at your own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. And if for whatever reason you're not happy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. And best of all, it is a truly affordable option. And if you're listening to this podcast right now, you can get 10% off your first month with a discount code ROME. Once again, discount code ROME. So why not get started right now? Go to BetterHelp.com/Rome and simply fill out a simple questionnaire. Get matched up with a counselor that you're going to love. BetterHelp.com/Rome. Once again, BetterHelp.com/Rome. Scott Brooks joining us. He is the head coach of the Wizards. You know, before he got to the Sixers, you had played in Albany with Bill Musselman and then in Fresno before he got that opportunity with the Sixers. When you look back, Scott, to your days in Albany and Fresno, what were those days like? What do you remember most from then?
I remember Coach Musselman. Bill Musselman was my coach. He was my first professional coach, and I'm so thankful that he gave me so much knowledge and so much. He was determined to go 54-0, and I'm like thinking as a player, this guy's nuts. There's no way we're going to go 54-0. And you know, we went 48-6, and those six losses, it was like a nightmare. It was like we were the worst team ever. I was the worst player ever. So he gave you so much. He gave you confidence, and then he gave you toughness. Losing wasn't acceptable, and that was a great experience. He's a great coach, you know. Rest in peace, and you know Eric is going to do a good job in Arkansas. But it was a great time for me and my time at the 6-4 and under league in Fresno. Ted Owens, who was just celebrating his 90th birthday, and I could not make it, or it's actually next week. I can't make it, but another great coach and a great friend and a mentor.
Scott, your journey is amazing. I really appreciate your thoughts on that. All right, so you're coming off a season that did not go the way that you or anybody would have expected or wanted, and it was highlighted by the fact that you lost John Wall to ankle surgery in January and then, of course, a ruptured Achilles a few weeks later. I know you're focused on the future, but as you look back on last season, a really challenging season, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Yeah, we had high expectations going into last season. It was going to be like I thought we had a chance to really compete. We shored up a couple issues that we needed to get better at, rebounding and paint protection, and then we acquired Dwight Howard, who had a great year the year before, averaged like 17-13, played in like 80 games. Unfortunately for us, he was hurt all year. He played 8 games. And then John Wall, you know, he's a 5-time All-Star, as tough as they come, wants to play every game. He played 30, missed over 50 games, and he out of those 30, he probably should only play 10, but he wanted to fight through it. But you know what? With all that being said, it gave the other guys opportunities. We didn't have the season we wanted to have, but nobody made excuses. Those are factual things that it's hard to overcome when you're talking about two of your important starters that are going to miss basically an entire season. But Bradley Beal stepped up. He's really improved his game. His leadership really improved. And, you know, he's a tremendous player. And he's only 25. That's the crazy thing. He's 25, and he's going to get a lot better.
Scott Brooks is the Wizards head coach. He joins us once again. Scott, you, of course, selected Rui Hachimura with the 9th pick in the draft. I know you're a big fan of his. You've talked about how much you love him. What is it about his game that you like so much?
He's steady. He's solid. He comes to work every day. We had an off day 2 days ago. He felt he didn't play well the game before. And we had an off day, and it was him, myself, and another coach. And we worked for an hour. I mean, to me, I love that type of stuff. You know, there's all kinds of ways to get better, but the only way that you can get better consistently is putting the work in. There's no magic video or vitamin that you can take. You got to it's sweat equity. You got to be on the court as a player, the same thing as a coach, and you got to be with the players. And I love his demeanor on the court. He's almost like Kawhi-like, where he can make a great play you don't know. He has a bad play you don't know. He just wants to play the next play mentality. I love the guy. What a pleasant to be around. He's so humble, so respectful. And the Japanese fan base are obviously in love with him from what he has done already in Gonzaga. He's well coached, but our fan base has already fallen in love with him. I think he's going to be a good addition to our program.
We are talking to Scott Brooks. So you have him. You've got a superstar in John Wall, another star in Bradley Beal, and a star who has attended some of the team's pre-draft workouts. So what's it say about Beal that he does that, and what kind of insight do you get from him when he does scout a player?
You know what? He knows the game. He loves the game. He coaches his AAU team back in St. Louis. He wants to be around the game a lot. That's a crazy thing. Him and John, they know high school kids. They know, like, where this kid's going to go to high school. I'm like, where and why do you guys even, like, find the time and want to even know about it? He said they love it. Like, Brad, he's been with a lot of our workouts, and he's come to Vegas and had three great workouts with our young players the last 10 days. So it's been great. He's showed, like, tremendous growth as a player, but I just really have a lot of respect for who he is as a person. That guy is just one of the great guys in the league and one of the best players in the league.
And Scott, Isaiah Thomas joined the team also this summer. I know the two of you spent some time together recently and had what you described as some, quote, real talk. You both played the same position, of course. What was that conversation like, and what did you take away from it?
I just wanted to know where his mind was. And I know just looking at him and following his career, I kind of knew what he would be thinking and then where his mind would be, but I wanted to hear from him. And that guy, the reason why he's so good and the reason why he was, you know, drafted the 60th pick and been traded a few times and had, you know, a monster 2-year stretch or a 3-year stretch in Boston, and is his toughness. That guy is tough, man. He gets up every time he gets knocked down, and this is another opportunity for him to get up. I thought he had a year last year where he got healthy. He was on a team that's really good, coached by Coach Malone. They were like number one seed, and they didn't want to mess things up, so he was ready. But I like the fact that he has something to prove, and I want to be part of that journey with him. And I think he's going to be a great addition at that spot along with Ish Smith.
Scott Brooks, my guest. Scott, one last thought. I know you're focused on your own team. I know you've got to be very careful about what you say about other teams and players. All right, that said, with that setup, with the reports that Russell Westbrook is being dealt to Houston, it feels like the end of an era in OKC. You and I had so many conversations when you were there. You were a part of that heyday with that team. As you look back, what kind of thoughts do you have about OKC?
Well, I have nothing but love, you know, from the fan base, the city, and all the shop staff. It would be a great opportunity. I had 7 incredible years, probably, you know, other than we didn't win a championship, but we were the youngest team, one of the youngest teams to ever get to the finals, and we were on our way. And then we just had, you know, unfortunate luck with some injuries and, you know, a tough trade. But, you know, Russell Westbrook is one of my favorite players ever to coach. That guy, I like guys that, you know, I'll tell you what, he's going to take 3-4 really tough shots and bad shots, but he's going to give you great effort every single night. And I don't care. I mean, he's one of the few guys that can play back-to-back in the same day. That's how much energy, that's how much passion, and that's how much intensity he has for the game. I have nothing but respect for Sam and what they've done, but, you know, it was time, and unfortunately for me, I got fired during that stretch, but that's part of being a coach. That's part of being a player. You get traded, and you just have to deal with it, move on, and learn from it.
Preach. Scott Brooks, my guest, an NBA Coach of the Year, an NBA champion as a player, entering his fourth season with the Wizards, and expectations are high once again. It's going to be a really, really interesting year. Scott, it is so good to have you back in the jungle. I miss talking to you. Really nice to have you. Thanks so much for doing it.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you, man.
From now on, the NBA Draft should be known as the Sam Presti Invitational. After their 3 trades in the past week, the Thunder now have at least 2 first-round picks in 6 of the next 7 drafts. Once Paul George told Presti that he wanted out, the GM went to work. And that work has been collecting first-round picks like their baseball cards. And by all accounts, taking care of the players who wanted out. Paul George wanted to go to the Clippers. He ended up with the Clippers. Sam Presti ended up with their draft for the next half decade. with the rebuild underway. Russell Westbrook wanted to leave for one of two spots, and he got the spot that he really wanted. Sam Presti got a bunch more picks in return. Is anyone else even allowed to draft anymore, or does Presti, in fact, have every single pick for every single draft for the next 5 years? Three trades in under a week, including dealing an MVP and an MVP candidate. And looking at that roster, there's a very good chance that he's not done. There's still a few pieces that he could still move, starting with Chris Paul, because now Paul and his contract find themselves in a really weird spot, right? That spot is Oklahoma City in the middle of a rebuild while he's aging out and he's getting more expensive every single minute. I mean, make no mistake, Sam Presti is not looking to rebuild on the fly. This time last week, they were a team that could compete for a spot in the conference finals if things broke right. Now, they're a shell of that team. They went from possible contender to possible lottery team in a matter of a few days. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Presti ripped that team down to the studs, and he did it in a heartbeat. Last night marked the end of an era in OKC, an era which included Kevin Durant, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Paul George. It's a hell of a run, but it's over. Steven Adams might be gone shortly. Billy Donovan may decide that a rebuild's not for him. Speaking of which, we have not heard word one from the Munster kid. Is Herman's kid even still with us? Eddie! Eddie, what's good, baby? What's good, Ed?
AD, what's good, baby?
What's good, Eddie? Hey! Hey, Eddie! Mockingbird Lane, Eddie! Hey! Hey, Herman, what's up with Eddie? Why's your kid looking so funny, Herman? Natasha! Natasha, what's good, baby? What's good, Natasha? I mean, seriously, the Munster kid. We don't have to worry about him leaving if he's not living. Is this guy alive? Somebody check on the Munster kid. What's up? Anyway, that trade is not the start of the Chris Paul era in OKC, right? It's the start of the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander era in OKC. Chris Paul just happens to be there, at least right now. So what that means is either Chris Paul is going to be playing out the string on a team that's not good enough to make noise in the playoffs, or they'll get a great pick in the lottery. Or he'll get flipped again, and OKC Chris Paul jerseys will feel like Mike Piazza Marlins jerseys. I mean, seeing Paul on the Thunder would be about as hilarious as watching Rockets fans kill Westbrook and say that his triple doubles are empty stats, only to double back a week later when he's on their team and say they're the most important numbers in the world, and evidence that he's still a killer. Listen, in defense of Chris Paul, he's been a hell of a player. And the Rockets don't have the last 2 years that they had without him. They don't come as close as they did to the finals without Chris Paul. That's a fact. And just because all those reports after the season make him look horrible doesn't mean that bringing him to Houston was a mistake. But again, if he was getting bent about how the league's reigning MVP played and on a team that had a legitimate chance at a world championship, imagine how much of a pain in the ass he might be on a full-blown rebuild when he's playing nothing or for nothing but a paycheck. And one more thing. I mean, Sam Presti's getting a lot of credit, and understandably so, rightfully so. He's taken a really bad situation and turned it into a positive. But understand the thing about all these draft picks. They're just draft picks. Even as many as he has, they're just draft picks. I know they got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from the Clippers, and they're pumped. I get that. But two first-round picks in every draft from now until the end of time does not guarantee anything at all. The only guarantee you get from those picks is that you're getting those picks. When Presti has had top five picks, he has crushed it. Durant, Westbrook, Harden. I mean, you can't get any better than that for hit rate on top five picks. But once those picks fall outside the top five, things do get dicier. Like, hello, Mitch McGarry, Cameron Payne, Perry Jones. For every Serge Ibaka and Steven Adams, there are a few Dakari Johnsons and Magnum Rolls. Well, actually, there's only one Magnum Roll. There will only ever be one Magnum Roll. That's an all-world name right there. OKC fans have to hope that Presti will find more guys with Magnum Roll's name, but somebody else's game. And for real, could you imagine already purchasing your season tickets for the 2019-20 season, expecting Russ and PG-13 and getting this? Even that shirtless old dude cannot get with that.
Oh, City Thunder, hey, hey, Oklahoma, oh, City Thunder, hey, hey, Oklahoma.
Get it, old guy.
Oh, City Thunder, hey, hey.
Get some,
Oklahoma,
old man.
Oh, City,
hey, Thunder
Thunder
fan, hit me up.
Hey, hey, OKC.
Man, when it goes fast. It could change in an instant. It is summertime. What an amazing time of the year. I absolutely love it. Well, except for one thing. The bugs. Man, the bugs, the flies, the insects, the mosquitoes, they're everywhere, even here in California. So the question is, what do you do about that? I finally have the answer. My buddies over at Dynatrap have hooked me up. Dynatrap is the leading manufacturer of outdoor mosquito and insect traps, and now they've even come up with a solution for indoor pests. It is the Dynatrap Fly Light. The Dynatrap Fly Light works day and night to attract and trap flies, also fruit flies, mosquitoes, other annoying insects. I'm telling you, this thing works. It works really well. I'll tell you what does not work so well. Those disgusting fly strips. The Dynatrap Fly Light instead looks like a subtle nightlight that plugs into any indoor outlet. Trust me, I've been using mine. It is insane the number of insects that it has caught that would otherwise be buzzing around my home and annoying the hell out of me. Get yours at Dynatrap.com. That's Dynatrap.com. Enter the promo code ROAM. Get 15% off any of their products. Dynatrap, the safe, silent, and simple solution to household insect control. We've got ours. You should get yours. My guest is Lloyd Pierce. Lloyd, really nice to have you on the show. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Joe?
Good, good. Now, Lloyd, I don't know if you know this or not, but it's a conversation that I've been looking to have for quite some time because of your time with my guy, Brett Brown, in Philadelphia, and because of the job you've done since taking over Atlanta. It's been nearly 14 months since you were named the head coach there. What has that time been like for you so far?
It's different. I think people ask all the time, what's the difference between being an assistant coach and a head coach? And there's a number of things you can start listing off. I think for me, the biggest experience is just being in the city of Atlanta, a very young team. The organization renovated the arena, so there's just this newness about everything since I've taken over with the job. And I think you're starting to see the excitement, not only with last year's draft, but this year's draft as well. Travis Schlenk, our GM, has done an unbelievable job of positioning us and then giving us an opportunity to go out and draft the guys that we were able to draft. DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish, Trey Young, Kevin Herter last year, John Collins the year before that, Bruno Fernando. So a lot of excitement, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
We're talking to Lloyd Pierce. He's the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. I could ask you about any number of those guys, Lloyd, but what about Trey Young? Big part of the buzz is that he had that rookie season that was huge, and he made that transition from college to the NBA. It's always difficult, even more so when you're playing point guard. You've made the point that running the point in the fourth quarter of a close game is graduate-level game management.
Right.
What did you mean by that, and what do you make of how he progressed over the past season?
Well, I think, you know, that every team is looking for someone that can close the game out. And, you know, one of the reasons why I believe Trey was able to translate his game last year so seamlessly in a lot of ways, he's used to playing with the basketball. He's used to making plays for other guys. He's used to creating his own shot. He has the ability, the skill level, and the confidence to do it. And so sometimes you see it translate after a couple of years. He did it pretty easily. You know, he didn't make shots early on, and I think a lot of people said that was him underperforming. The shots just didn't go in at that time, but he was still creating shot opportunities. I think he ended up being fifth in total assists in the NBA last year as a rookie. So he just has a unique ability. And as the season progressed, he was able to read when teams were blitzing and when teams were hedging, just aggressively understand how to attack different coverages and still facilitate and make plays for our team.
We're talking to Lloyd Pierce. He's the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. You know, you played your college ball at Santa Clara, and you were a critical part of those great teams that had Steve Nash and Marlon Garnett. I'm not going to ask you to compare Young to Nash, of course, but when he's watched tape of Nash, what are you hoping he takes away from that?
Well, I think the that's probably one of the biggest similarities. A lot of people say Trey or Steph with Trey are the comparisons. I think with Nash, you just see a guy that with the basketball, you always feel there's some opportunity or some play being ready, being made. You know, he can pass with his left hand on the baseline. He can find guys across the court. He can do a lot of different things. And just the ability to read the defense, make the simple play, make the right play, make the play that sometimes guys don't even know are there. Just the ability to make that pass and create for other guys. So Trey's a big fan of Steve Nash. They've had the opportunity to go to Spain together for some soccer things and just be in constant communication. I think that's the greatest thing I have going with Trey.
So when you have Trey and you have John Collins and you have Kevin Huerter and you've got some of the other pieces you have, there's a feeling that the team could be really good, really fast. But that said, you've been really clear that you're not going to skip steps.
So right.
What would the next step look like?
I think the next step is just, are we better? You know, Trey and people talk about how we played post All-Star break. Well, I want to play that way to start the season. I want to have excitement. I want to have a lot of chemistry with our guys. Even though we're adding a bunch of new guys, I feel like we should start the season feeling as if we have a little cohesion amongst the group. And that's going to start with Trey. That's going to start with John. John was pretty much a 20-10 guy last year. We need him to be a 20-10 guy when we start the season off. So for us, our next step is just progression. Are we a little bit better than we were last year, and can we get better again as the season progresses? They are young guys, but that's not an excuse. We want them to, you know, they're going to play 30-plus minutes, Trey, John, Kevin. We're going to add some new guys. So, you know, if they're on the court, they got to produce, and that's really the most important part.
You know, I think the way you – kind of connect with the young guys is really interesting. Now, I want to read you a quote. It's going to take a minute. Lloyd Pierce is my guest. You recently had a great answer, I thought, to a question from Chris Kirshner, which included, quote, "This is a grown man's league. Not everybody is coming in here and calling me Coach Pierce. They'll say LP. That's not a lack of respect. Back in the day, maybe, but not today. That's just the nature of the game now. We communicate on the same wavelength. Some people do call me Coach Pierce. Some call me LP. I'm good with it. So when we communicate, I don't want them at bleeping attention talking to me like yes sir, no sir. I'll do whatever you say, coach. I want coach. Why are we running that? I don't like that scheme," end quote. So that was a long quote, but I think it really makes a pretty significant point. Some coaches may not want that relationship. Why is that important to you?
I learned long time ago, even before I got into the NBA, you know, one of the biggest and key components in coaching at the professional level is having a dynamic and special relationship with your top player. And, you know, it stood out to me a long time ago. Why is that so important? Well, it is. If your best player, the guy's making the most money and doing the most production, if you and him don't get along, well, you don't get along with anyone else. It's just going to be a trickle-down effect. And so as you're establishing the relationship and you're enhancing the communication with the guys, I think the important part is, you know, what type of relationship do you want to have? I want one that's authentic and I want one that's real. And so calling me Coach Pierce, if that's not authentic, I'm okay with it. Whatever you feel is authentic, LP is what everyone else calls me outside of the coaching profession and inside the coaching profession, then I think you should just call me LP. That way we can talk and there's respect and there's a genuine form of communication the entire time.
We're talking to LP, Lloyd Pierce. You know, Lloyd, you're your own guy for sure, but hearing you answer that question that way kind of makes me think about a guy you used to be with in Brett Brown. I know how highly, having spoken to Brett Brown as much as I have, I know how highly he thought of you. What were you able to take away from your time working with him?
Well, Brett is probably the most genuine and authentic person I know, mainly because of the passion he has when he coaches, the passion he has about life, the passion he has about the guys that he's working with. You know, he was the single most important factor in me getting this job, and his endorsement, the confidence he speaks with about me. You know, I have a lot of assistant coach friends in the NBA who were envious when they heard Brett endorse me last year, you know, wishing that their head coach did that. And I think that's, you know, something I always will remember about Brett, and you know, respect him for. But I think, you know, with him, he was just always a forward thinker. Every day he comes to work, he's very passionate about what he's doing. You enjoy working with him because he challenges you, but he respects you as well.
We're talking to Lloyd Pierce. I can appreciate it. Now, Lloyd, we talk Bay Area basketball. Like, I had Gary Payton on a podcast not long ago. We talked about growing up and playing ball in Oakland. Damian Lillard has talked about that. My guy Brian Shaw as well. Now, you grew up playing ball in San Jose, and the legend has it you were part of some of those big-time pickup games at Cherry Park. Is that true, and what were those games like?
You know, it's crazy how different, you know, people approach basketball now. No one plays at the park. I don't know any other way. San Jose, California, every Saturday, every Sunday, if you could find out where the best run was, it normally was at the park. And Cherry Park is probably the biggest name in San Jose. For me, it started like as a young guy. You're the young guy that's showing up to the park playing with grown men. You know, win or go home is kind of the approach. And so right when you jump on the scene, you're trying to hold your own against older guys, and then you've got to play winning basketball, which means, you know, foul at all costs if it's game point. You know, those type of environments, it sucks that that's not how it is anymore, but I appreciate it growing up playing basketball that way.
Lloyd Pierce, my guest. You mentioned in California. Let's talk West Coast for 1 second. You know, I know you're a big pizza guy. I love pizza. New York people will talk about their pizza. Chicago people talk about their pizza. How about West Coast pizza? Give me
I talk about Roundtable.
Roundtable. Is that it?
Yeah,
tell me about
it. It's Roundtable without a doubt. I'm trying to convince everybody about it. Everyone knows on my Instagram, all you see is Roundtable pizza. It's pretty much my sign that I'm back on the West Coast somewhere. You'll see a Roundtable pizza show up on my Instagram account. You know, it's a classic high school post-football game. You know, go hang out. That's where we used to hang out, Roundtable Pizza in San Jose.
Listen, really good thin crust, good cheese. A little pricey, right? A little bit pricey.
No, it's perfectly priced. It's perfectly priced.
There it is. You got to rep the West
Coast. My guy Mark Spears, you know, Mark Spears and I, we grew up in San Jose. He was at a rival high school, so he knows all about it. We pretty much share at the same round table in the area. So he's one of the guys that gives me a hard time and documents it a lot.
That's a blast. You know what I think, like in my area, Shakey's was a big thing back in the day.
Yep.
How about
yep.
Shakey's? How would that compare?
I don't think it would compare, but I
right.
know it.
Nothing does, though. Nothing does. It last thought, back in April, you were named to the USA basketball coaching staff, and you joined Steve Kerr, Jay Wright as assistants to Greg Popovich. Every time I talk to a head coach who's been a part of USA basketball, they rave about what an honor it is and what a great learning experience it is, too. How much are you looking forward to it?
It's a tremendous honor. In a lot of ways, I sit and I say, I have no idea how I got selected for this thing. You know, Pop's got 5 rings. Jay's got 2 national championships. Steve Kerr's got 3 championships. And I'm sitting there saying, and I'm the 4th guy on the staff. You know, how do I contribute? But we've had our first coaches meeting. We all flew out to San Antonio, and Pop, you know, really took command of where we are and what we want to do. And just instantly the buzz, the excitement, the honor that I have, you know, representing our country, but being on that stage with those coaches, I think it's just probably the greatest experience I'll have as a coach, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Atlanta Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce, my guest. Lloyd, this is why a few moments back I started the interview by saying I've been trying to get this done for quite some time. I'm glad we finally came together. Really nice to have you on the show. I thought that was a great conversation, Lloyd. I appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Many years ago, you did the Jim Rome show, and you had a guest, Delonte West, on your show. I was coaching in Cleveland at the time. It was probably one of the funniest segments I've ever seen, where you just followed him around with the mic. I don't know if you remember that.
But, my man.
That was
Now, can I tell you, not only do I remember that, that was called the correspondent piece, which I did for ESPN, and we did dozens and dozens. That was far and away the best one ever. And since
I
you mentioned that.
I was in Cleveland at the time when all of that was going on.
What?
It was probably one of the funniest 2 days ever.
Dude, what was he like to be around? Was he like that every single day? What was it like to coach Delonte?
Every single day. He is one of the most gifted, artistic guys. I mean, he could sit at a piano and just start playing music and then forget the song 5 minutes later. You know, just a unique gift and skill. He was comedic. He was hilarious. He was one of the toughest and hardest competitors that you'll have. And a lot of people don't know that about him. You know, any drill, any sprint, you know, he probably has every record. I know he has the sprint record in Boston. He probably has all of them in Cleveland, but he definitely was like that every day.
So let me ask you, listen to this really quickly. Does this sound familiar to you?
J.J. Hickson forgot the donuts today.
Yep. Broke back J.J.
Broke back J.J.
He's got a broken back.
Look. Back. Jim, his excuse was he had an MRI today, so he couldn't stop past the Krispy Kremes.
I couldn't. Who was Jim? Who was Jim?
Hold on, buddy. You got to cut that part out right there.
Who was Jim?
Jim Rome.
Rome and Bernie.
Yeah.
What's up,
Flip? Lloyd, how good is that? I mean, that's as good as it gets.
That is hilarious. J.J. Hickson, Delonte West, the donut. We used to make the guys go to Krispy Kreme. It was about 45 minutes outside of the city. I remember that was one of the funniest segments we've ever seen.
He goes, broke back J.J. So he had a broken back.
That was pretty good.
Don't
trains, automobiles, don't forget my donuts.
My man, Lloyd, you are the best. So glad you said that. That is awesome. Glad you brought that up, man. I appreciate you so much, Lloyd. That was great. Thank you.
Not a problem.
You got it, man. Be good. Have a great day. Planes, trains, automobiles. Don't forget my donuts.
Planes, and automobiles.
Just quoted
it. You better have my donuts.
The head coach of the Hawks just quoted that. My man, Lloyd Pierce. A big fat hypothetical to set up this next story. Think about this. Check this. And think really carefully before you answer the question. If I were to say to you, if I were to ask you, what is the one tangible thing that you want most from your life, what would it be? Make sure it's tangible. Like a goal, an achievement, a thing. What is the one thing that you would want most from your entire life? The one thing you want to achieve more than anything else. Think about that. Just sit on that. Marinate on that for a minute. What is the one thing you want more than anything else? All right. Do you have that in your head? Do you have that? You got that? All right. Keep that to yourself. Now, ask yourself this next question. What would you be willing to do to achieve that goal? What is the price that you'd be willing to pay to make that dream or that thing a reality? How far would you go? What kind of sacrifices would you make? And this is not a Jocko thing. This is just a life thing. What would you be willing to do or give up or sacrifice to make that dream a reality? Now think about that for a second. And I'll tell you about Tennessee Titans head coach Mike Vrabel and what Mike Vrabel would do for the thing that he wants most in his life. Because I would have thrown down some serious jack that this dude is willing to do more for what he wants than what you or me or anybody else is willing to do for what we want. Wouldn't you agree with that? I guarantee a guy like Vrabel, with his will, his discipline, his strength, he'd be willing to go a lot further to get what he wants than you would be, than I would be. So we find out, because yesterday, Titans offensive lineman Taylor Lewan and free agent linebacker Will Compton dropped the latest installment of their podcast, Bussin' with the Boys. Now, if you know Lewan, then you know his podcast is going to skew more towards comedy than straight sports. This is the same guy who told a fake draft pick a few months back in Nashville that all he needed to do to make it in the NFL was get some chew, some water, and some Gatorade.
Oh, Taylor. What's going on, man? I'm Deuce.
Deuce. Nice
yeah,
to meet
Deuce
you,
Dominguez, man. I'm looking to get drafted tonight.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm an O lineman.
Deal, man. Yeah, I could tell. You're big.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it. Look, I just wanted to check in with you, see if you had any advice for a young up and comer, man.
Yeah,
I'm really
chew.
Big fan. So.
Buy chew.
Chew.
Chew and tobacco.
Chew. All right.
You gotta
cool.
Feel the boys, man. If you're gonna be in that room, you gotta feel the boys. Chew, water, Gatorade. You're gonna be all right.
All right.
He said, "Here's my advice: buy some chew. Chew, water, Gatorade. You'll be all right." All right, so yesterday, though, it was Lewan's turn to ask the questions. And he had his current head coach on his podcast, and he had him for more than an hour. Let me stop right there. What's that say about both these guys that they're willing to record a conversation together for public consumption? I love Vrabel. We used to have Vrabel on this show all the time when he played. I've been trying to get him since he's coached, and we have been unable to do so. Granted, he's going to be more likely to sit down one of his players than some knucklehead behind a mic. Granted. However, this is a boss and an employee. An employee and a boss sitting down, having a conversation for more than an hour for public consumption. Like, how many of you listening right now are trying to run your boss down for an hour to tape a conversation with him or her? Probably none of you. Like, Hawk best not be doing that with me. You too, Ike. Now, Flight Deck, if you want to, I don't want to play favorites, but I'll do it with you, Flight Deck. Apparently, it was Vrabel. Apparently, it was Vrabel, though, who caught wind of the pod, and he went looking for it. And at the beginning of the episode, Vrabel discloses his own nickname and what he's going to do for, quote, podcast ratings in July.
Summer ratings dip. You just bring Daddy on. Early July bump.
Summer ratings dip, so you bring Daddy on for an early July bump. I love that this guy has self-glossed himself as Daddy. Just bring Daddy on. Daddy will fix everything, Alvin.
Summer ratings dip. You just bring Daddy on. Early July bump.
There aren't really ratings for podcasts, but all right. You got to love that he refers to himself as Daddy to his players. I mean, it's a power move right there. A power move if there ever was one. And you have to love Luan and Compton, that they were just going to lob some generic softballs to Daddy, right? Or you'd think. But the very first question of that podcast is so lewd that I can't even hint at what it is. And then there was this follow-up.
Tell me about the first time you lost your virginity. What was that?
You already know that?
No, I don't.
I don't know that one.
Tell them about the first time you lost your virginity. You already know that. You already know that. Can you imagine, like, I don't know, Shaq Mason, Joe Thuney, asking Bill Belichick? Say these guys had a podcast. Now, I know that's not exactly the Patriot way, but play along. Say a couple of guys with the Patriots had a podcast. And then all of a sudden, the hood is looking around. Where's Shaq? Where's Joe? I understand they got a podcast. Yeah, well, Daddy's here. Daddy's here for a little July podcast ratings bump. Where's Shaq? Where's Joe? Imagine, hey, fellas. Yeah, I've been looking for you guys. I want to do your podcast. Oh, okay, hood. Hey, man. Tell us about that time you punched your V card. Better yet, can you imagine Hoodie answering the question the way Vrabel did? Don't ask me that question. You already know what happened. You know what happened when I got amorous. You know what happened when I punched that V card. I guarantee she knows what happened. Everybody, you know what happened. Everybody knows what happened. And nobody will stop asking me about it. Stop asking me about that time I lost my virginity, all right? We're on to the next procreation. We're on to coitus, all right? You already know the answer to that question. Stop asking me about that. I'm here. You want to talk football? Let's talk football. You want to talk about my sex life? Go someplace else. You want to talk about my sex life? Go ask Bob Kraft. Anyway, they're at the 7-minute mark, all right? They're already into that. 7 minutes of an hour-long pod, and that's where that conversation's already gone off the rails. Somewhere around the 55-minute timestamp, though, Vrabel goes all in, pushes everything he has to the center of the table, and goes legend, and put Bussin' with the Boys on the podcast map. Listen as Will Compton, I like Will Compton, he comes on the show, good dude, really good dude. Listen as Will Compton asks Vrabel, a.k.a. Daddy, if he'd be willing to part ways with one of his own body parts if it meant winning a Super Bowl. Now, before I play the clip, let me just throw that mandatory disclaimer out. The question and subsequent answer are graphic in nature. Let me repeat. The question and subsequent answer are graphic in nature. You've been warned. Here you go.
Would you cut your off for a Super Bowl?
Oh, been married 20 years. Yeah, probably.
You've got three.
As a player, I guess we'll be married for 20 years one day.
If you
won't need it.
Would she be upset?
She'd probably be on board.
She would be like, do you want me to do it? You want to do it now?
This dude, what an amazing exchange. If that's not the best quote of the summer or the year or the last 5 years, it might be the best ever. I mean, it really is. How in the hell can anybody or anything top a second-year NFL head coach saying he would dismember his own member to win a Super Bowl, especially when he's already got a fistful of jewelry? So let me ask you once again, what is the thing you want most in life? Is there anything you want as much as Mike Vrabel wants to win another Super Bowl? What is the thing that you want most in life? And then what's the price you're willing to pay in order to get that thing? Because we just found out what Mike Vrabel's answer is to both those questions. It's one thing to say, yes, I would bob it myself for a Super Bowl. It's entirely another to say the reason you're willing to do so is, yeah, I've been married 20 years right now, and it's not like I use it anyway. Cut me, Mick. Cut me, Julie. But that's what he said. And by cut me, I mean cut it off. Now, you might be wondering what Vrabel's wife had to say about that. Yeah, well, he had an answer for that as well.
Would you cut your off for a Super Bowl?
Oh, been married 20 years. Yeah, probably.
You've got three.
As a player. I guess we'll be married for 20 years one day.
Would you, if you came home,
you won't need it.
Would she be upset?
She'd probably be on board.
She would be like, do you want me to do it? Do you want to do it now?
Like, it seems kind of tired and played, that whole, yeah, hey, fellas, when you've been married 20 years, you'll know what it's like. You'll know that you have no need for it. But for some reason, when Vrabel says it, it's hilarious. He's like, you'll find out. You won't need it. Yeah, yeah, I would do it. She'd be like, you want me to do it? You want me to do it right now?
Would you cut your off for a Super Bowl?
Oh, been married 20 years. Yeah, probably.
You've got three.
As a player.
Vrabel. I haven't heard a head coach that fired up about winning since Jim Schwartz compared Javid Best highlights to porn. Remember that? That was back when Schwartz was the head coach of the Lions. He told Mike Silver, quote, some people watch adult videos on their computer. I go to YouTube and I watch Javid Best highlight clips. That's what gets me aroused. End quote. Also one of the great quotes ever. Now, later there was some debate as to whether he said, quote, aroused or gets me going. But the effect was the same. He was comparing Javid Best highlights to porn. Every Tennessee Titan in that locker room better be ready to run through a brick wall for a guy who's willing to lop off his own junk for the ultimate prize. However, if this is Vrabel in the dead of July, what the hell is this guy going to say to his team in December during a playoff run? Where the hell do you go from here? Is this the ultimate sacrifice, or can Vrabel dig even deeper, give even more? I also love that Luan quickly pointed out, hey, coach, hey, daddy, you've already got three rings. To which Vrabel immediately responded and reminded him, yeah, those were as a player.
Would you cut your off for a Super Bowl?
Oh, been married 20 years. Yeah, probably.
You've got three.
As a player.
Hey, listen, I got to say, and sometimes athletes come to me for advice about being in the media. The thing about podcasts is everybody's got one. Every swinging bleep has one. Everybody. Nobody doesn't have a podcast. So how do you get people to recognize yours or look at you? You play in the NFL and you ask your head coach, would you cut off your bleep to get a ring? Which is what he did. Vrabel won those Super Bowls as a player, and he did it playing for somebody who ripped off eight of them without ever having to rip off anything else. You know what I mean? But not everybody is the hood. Vrabel knows that, which is why he's willing to do whatever it takes to get his mitts on that piece of hardware one more time. Well, that, and he's been married 20 years, and apparently he doesn't use that anymore. Right, coach? Spare parts, eh, coach? I always tell my guys here, I would never ask you to do something that I would not be willing to do myself. Hopefully for the 53 guys in that locker room, he does not have that same mantra. But let me tell you this. The best part of that story is not that Vrabel said that he would do it. It's now every single coach is going to be asked if he's willing to do it. Now that it's out there, every media in every market needs to ask their head coach the same question. I can't wait for the answers. You see, no coach wants to admit that his desire to win is less than somebody else's, and now the bar has been set at member chopping. And you pretty much have to say yes, or that means you really don't want to win. I can't wait for Pat Shurmur to be asked about chopping off his manhood, or Jason Garrett, or the brothers Gruden. You know they'll be battling to get to the podium to make it clear who wants to win more. Can you imagine Adam Gase's reaction when somebody asks him? His eyes will pop right out of his head. Coach Belichick, your former player Mike Vrabel said he would cut off his penis to win a Super Bowl. How about you, Hood? Would you be willing to do that? Let's get to the week that was.
Wake up!
Normally, I would reserve it for a Friday, but I'll go ahead and do it on a Monday. Give me that deck of yak. Even Albie knew where I was going with that. Welcome to the jungle. What's cracking? My name is Jim Rome.
It was a great week last week without you.
Nothing sums up anything better than the following four words.
What it do, baby?
Yeah! The Clippers did the damn thing. That was a holy moment on Friday night that Kawhi was signing with the Clippers. An absolutely huge, franchise-altering, league-changing move. The LA Clippers.
What it do, baby?
Haynes is my guest.
Bro, glad to be back. Most importantly, glad that Kawhi chase is all over with. That was a crazy hectic night.
And I sit on the bench at the dock, and I'm having a good old time just looking out at Cranberry Lake. In the process of scooting over, I knock Overseas phone into the lake. Oh, dead. DOA. Never to be used again.
The fight clock is brought to you by Modelo.
And the fight clock is brought to you by... Oh! I always thought that Connor ending Aldo in 13 seconds was the most ridiculous KO of all time. But Masvidal made that time seem like an eternity.
For my job, I get to punch the co-workers I don't like in the face.
Albie's like, oh, dude, does that mean I can punch Hawk in the face? Sincerely, blaming your hangover on the earthquake. That's why Major League Baseball bought Rawlings, so they could mass produce their own Super Balls and put them into use across the board. Damn, what a quinky thing. Isn't it wild to see the ball jumping out of the yard the way it is right now? John Smoltz, has it gone too far?
We're getting to that point, right? I don't know long term if that's the great thing for baseball.
Let's go to Michigan. Kurt. Hey, Kurt, how are you?
What's up, Jim? That's the Upper Michigan, and it's the Muscle Shark calling you.
So now Muscle Shark joined a very elite fraternity.
Levi the Trash Man.
Bowling Ball.
G-Money.
Zookeeper.
Tree Frog.
The Silly Rabbit.
Terry Stotts.
Gary Trent Jr. had 31 last night, shot three really well.
Terry, I feel like I was talking about Gary Trent Senior not that long ago on this show.
Oh, he's here too.
Yo, let that ride.
Yo.
Hey, Nike, it's Tiger.
Hey, Extra P's. Wake up! Erase that message. Fast, quickly, go, hurry, bye.
Wake up!
Side piece.
Wake up.
Perkins waitress.
Wake up!
She's calling you now. Hurry.
Wake up.
Huge. Quick.
Wake up.
California.
It's Tiger.
Dad,
the only reason people go to Omaha, you got Warren Buffett, you got the College World Series, and now you got you, dude. It's just right up there.
Omaha! Yeah, babe. So I'm going to Omaha next weekend to play golf with strangers.
Matthew Wolf, my guest. You're not 35 and 15 years on tour. You are 20, right?
Yes, sir. I'm 20.
All right. Just confirming. War DP, War FT, 2 North, and War the greatest university in all of the land, UC Santa Barbara. Way to show out, Gaucho. Rick Carlisle. Rick, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, it's been too long. Great to be back in the jungle.
Glover Quinn joining us.
You know, Coach Caldwell used to say all the time, any fool can learn from his own mistakes. It takes a very wise man to learn from the mistakes of others.
Let's go to Oregon. Evan in Oregon.
I'm here to address one thing and one thing only. The spectacle of testicle himself, Rick in Buffalo.
I guess you're not going to address it. It's going to get you run. The spectacle of the testicle himself.
Scumbag.
I'm not a big fan of donuts. No. Donuts are sugar-coated lies. That's all they are. And they're lying to you with their beautiful taste and their jelly-filled center. Don't believe the lies and stay away from donuts. Your life will be better, I promise.
You're welcome for this content.
Thank you, bleeping, very much for all the bleeping amazing content.
Super duper, you know.
The brothers Griffin's joining me in studio.
It's just once it happened, once I knew that the fans were moved, it gave me another opportunity to do more things. I just wish I could, you know, take all his worries and his pain away, but I couldn't. That was just me being a protective brother I am.
Denver, what's cracking? Mile High Sports Radio, 1340 AM, 104.7 FM.
Wah!
Hey, Beaks. Bench the donuts.
Bench the
donuts.
We have not heard word one from the Munster Kid. Is Herman's Kid even still with us? Eddie, what's good, baby?
Eddie, what's good, baby?
What's good, Eddie? Hey, Eddie, Mockingbird Lane, Eddie. We're going to have to worry about him leaving if he's not living. Is this guy alive?
Hey.
Scott Brooks, I know you've got to be very careful about what you say about other teams and players. All right, that's it.
We were on our way, and then we had, you know, unfortunate luck with some injuries and, you know, a tough trade.
Would you cut your off for a Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah, probably.
I can't wait for Pat Shurmur to be asked about chopping off his manhood. How about you, Hood? Would you be willing to do that? You know what happened when I punched that V card?
She would be like, do you want me to do it? Do you want to do it now?
Cut me, Mick.
Cut me, Mick.
Cut me, Julie. Lloyd Pierce.
Many years ago, you did the Jim Rome show.
Rome and Bernie.
We had a guest, Delonte West.
How play is
the that, donut. Man? We used to make the guys go to Krispy Kreme. It was about 45 minutes outside of the city. Funniest 2 days ever.
First of all, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. Let me clear that out.
If I see my Whole Foods, I'm going to still slap that beat up.
Can't go wrong with cheesecake.
600%.
Really big bugs.
Thanks, Jim. Go Chelsea. Planes, trains, right. Automobiles. Don't forget my donuts.
Good night now!
Planes, trains, automobiles. Don't forget my donuts. Alvin DeLauro, there is nobody better at their job than you are at your job. Notice I did not say there's nobody better at Alvin's job than Alvin. Nobody's better at their job than Alvin is at his job. That's how good that is. Continued success to you, Alvin.
Good night now!